Hello and welcome to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Thank you so much for joining us once again. I'm Tony Colombo with producer Chad Ellis and my partner, Bo Matthews. Bo, how are you, my friend?
Exciting weekend. Halloween, time change, election, all that stuff. I'm ready. Are you?
It's all happening at once. The circus show that is 2020 is in full effect right now. We've got COVID numbers going up. We've got Halloween happening. We've got the stupid time change that I absolutely hate. And we've got this crazy election all happening in the next few days. It's madness.
And a hurricane.
And a hurricane hitting New Orleans. Yeah, absolutely. We were going to talk, speaking of the election, so today's show, we're going to do, it's going to be a little bit different than the typical Second Amendment Radio. In just a minute, we're going to talk to Aaron Tarlow, like we always do, start the show with Aaron, the owner of Southern Armory. And then we are going to, in the second segment, we are going to talk to America's favorite liberal, Keith Antone. And we're going to talk to Keith. And then in the third segment, we are going to talk to Missouri State Representative Nick Schroer, who is on the ballot this coming Tuesday. And the reason I wanted to have somebody from the left and somebody from the right on this week going into this election, I want both of these guys to talk about where their parties are on Second Amendment rights. What kind of and gun laws, Second Amendment rights, police, you know, funding or defunding the police, that all of those questions that sort of hang in the ballot balance nationally and, of course, even locally. You know, if you lose, if you whoever has power in Jeff City can, you know, make a lot of decisions for the state of Missouri. So I want to get both sides on to talk about what they would do if the Republicans are able to hold control. What are the plans next year as far as gun rights and maybe expanding gun rights and gun laws in Missouri? And if the Democrats take control, what do they want to do? So we'll talk about those things. I think it's good information for people before they head to the ballot box on Tuesday. So we're going to get both sides of the story. I think it's going to be very interesting stuff. And Bo, yeah, go ahead.
So many people have voted already. You know, we're really going to be talking to the people that are going to vote in person and really those that are on the fence or near the fence, because some people are just like, you know, all out or all in on the Second Amendment. And so it'll be interesting to see how this conversation rolls out today.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got a packed show. We'll do the podcast exclusive. I think Nick Schroer is going to stick around for that conversation as well. So that'll be, you can get that on our podcast exclusive, which comes out on Monday, again, just in time for the election. Don't forget about both podcasts. We release the show podcast on Fridays and the podcast exclusive on Mondays. All right, let's go ahead and get Aaron into the conversation right now. Aaron Tarlow, the host of Southern Armory, the host of Southern Armory, and the owner of Southern Armory. Aaron, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, good. How are you?
I cannot complain. Are you guys, do you guys see an election spike these few days before the election, or is it just been business as usual in a crazy 2020?
So, yeah, I mean, it's still been the crazy 2020, and a few customers have been coming in going, yeah, you know, just in case, I'm going to pick up some more mags. And we have the Trump 2020 mags and the Make or Keep America Great high-capacity magazines for your AR. We still have a few of those left. So if you want them, you come in. I think we got like five or six of the 2020 Trump 2020 mags and maybe about a dozen of the Keep America Great. So I got both. Some people were like, well, that's a novelty. And I'm like, right, but it's a cool novelty, right? Like, I'm going to set it in my one of my cabinets, and, you know, people come over and be like, hey, check this out. Kind of like the magazine I have in my one safe that says that Hillary's president. I forget the exact headline, but it was like a Newsweek magazine, you know, where, you know, it was her road to the presidency. And then they obviously pulled it off the shelf really quick when they realized that Trump beat her. So just cool novelty stuff if you're kind of into that, and I am, you know. So, So we'll see kind of what happens. But, yeah, we're definitely having people coming in going, yeah, if, you know, Biden gets elected, you know, I'm going to probably have to buy XYZ. And then we have other people that are just, like, buying stuff because it is you know, the COVID times, and the industry is pumped up over a bunch of other issues.
Yeah, Aaron, do you have many liberal customers that come in? Because, I mean, we all need to protect ourselves. Do you have a lot of liberals that come in and purchase firearms?
So I think we have Democrats or left-leaners, people who lean to the left, come in for sure. And but it's funny because they come in and they're like, you can kind of tell. Like, this is not your typical, you know, person. And they come in and they're buying a gun because they need to protect themselves. And it's, I kind of consider them a convert, right? It's like, well, you're getting there. You know, nobody, quote, like Independence Day, nobody's perfect, you know? So when they're in that prey circle. And so I think it's just kind of that first step to seeing, like, well, maybe there is some logic here to these conservative people, like, you know, let's not overspend. Let's have balanced budgets. You know, let's consider.
Well, I think it's also Americans that just want to protect themselves. It doesn't matter if they're liberal or Democrat, liberal Democrats or conservative Republicans. I think people just want to make sure that they can protect themselves and their family. My rule is, if I go into a store that's selling ammo in a caliber that I want, I usually just buy a couple of boxes just to have on hand, whether it's, you know, target practicing or just stocking up. Not freaking out, just if it's available, I'll grab a little bit. And you may have people like that coming into Southern Armory.
Right, and that's definitely part of it, too. I mean, we have ammo available. That's the other great thing. We had a lot of people coming and going, how do you have this? And it's like, we do. We're not going to necessarily explain, you know, how or the whys, how we're getting it through wholesale. It's just, you know, kind of long-term contracts that we've had, and they're still getting fulfilled.
Aaron, is there any fear in the gun industry that it's been such a big year, 2020, all these first-time gun owners, all these people stocking up on ammunition, that everybody that wants a gun or needs ammo will have it by the end of the year, and that next year could be there could be a big lull in business?
So, you know, I don't necessarily see and into this because of the reasons that it's kind of pumped up. COVID has pumped it up. Lockdowns have pumped it up. The civil unrest have pumped it up. And those things are not going to be going away in the near future. So all the predictions that we've seen have said that the industry is not even going to catch up until 2021 or 2022. That's late 2021, early 2022, which basically means there's going to be a shortage. And when there's a shortage, that makes a lot of people, you know, nervous just in general, right? So if I told you there's going to be a beef shortage or a chicken shortage, every time you went to the grocery store, you would buy beef and chicken. It's the same thing with firearms, right? There's going to be an ammunition shortage. Glock is, you know, is being pretty tight-lipped, but I think the last time I heard it, they were 90 days behind on orders, and that was a few months ago, and now I can't even really get a straight answer. So when you start seeing, you know, this shortage is going to continue for the next year, year and a half. These guns are now 6 months behind. This manufacturer is a year behind. This manufacturer is 30 point whatever million dollars in back orders, who's not one of the major legacy brands. You know, people are going to be like, Bo, I see ammo, I'm going to buy it. If I see that Glock that I've been eyeing, I see that Smith & Wesson I've been eyeing, I'm just going to go ahead and buy it, because I may not see it again for 6 months to a year because I'm not in the right place at the right time.
Right.
So I foresee that, you know, at least for the next year and a half, the industry is going to be a booming. And if Biden gets in, I mean, I don't know if we could accelerate this anymore, but, you know, he was saying, you know, in the first 100 days, I'll use an executive order to ban all firearms.
Yeah. Yeah. That I could see him taking the crown from Barack Obama, who was before the biggest gun salesman in the history of the world. I guess coronavirus holds that distinction right now. Aaron, before we let you go, what is the latest at Southern Armory? How are you guys doing as far as inventory is concerned and a timeline to get back to CCW classes and things like that?
So, yeah, classes are going to be forming pretty soon. We've experimented with a couple of different methods by using just some small test classes. And we're pretty sure we have a method figured out that's going to work for us. So you can start calling the shop at 965 Guns, and given Jessica your information or Terry your information when they answer, and they'll put you on the list. We'll call you and email you when we're ready to do that. As far as everything else, we've got ammo, and we're getting shipments, you know, pretty much 2-3 times a week from all the different wholesalers that we now have. And the strategy we use to combat the shortage of supply seems to be actually panning out, and the gun shop is starting to fill up. But again, things are turning over. The average life expectancy for some of these guns is a day to a few days, but inventory is constantly turning over every week. If you need an AR-15, we've got them, and we're getting, you know, Glock, Smith & Wesson, Ruger, et cetera, really on a regular basis now. So it's just that demand is super, super high. So we do have people that are on, you know, back order lists. So, you know, while we are seeing some guns not even make it to the wall still, other guns are still being bought off of the incoming list that we print off of incoming inventory. There are guns for you still to come in and look. There are still some quality brands that we've got on the wall, like Ruger, Browning, Glock. If you're Blue Label, we're getting a lot of Blue Label Glocks in. And if you need ammunition, we've got that too. So along with holsters and, you know, other things that you'd want to desire. So definitely come in and see us. We're located 1 mile east of 270 and 44 at 9901 Watson Road and SouthernArmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
Yes, and that is Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. Aaron, thanks for your time today, and I can't believe it, but the next time we talk, the election will be in the books, and we'll have a whole lot of new stuff to talk about. So have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, yep, I'll be here, and catch you guys, I guess, on the flip side.
Vote early and vote often.
All right, let's take a quick break, and when we get back, Bo, gird up your loins. We're going to talk to America's favorite liberal and Chad Ellis's best friend, Keith Antone. When we get back, don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Hello and welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Chad Ellis and my partner, Bo Matthews. And we're doing a little bit different of a show as we get ready for the election. Election, of course, right around the corner. And so in just a moment here, we are going to talk to America's favorite liberal, Keith Antone. And then in the next segment, we are going to be talking to Nick Schroer, Missouri State Representative Nick Schroer. We're going to talk to both of these guys about the Second Amendment and gun laws and law enforcement, and kind of get the idea of where both sides stand on these issues as we get ready to go to the ballot box on Tuesday. Of course, we usually are talking about fishing and the great outdoors and camping and all that sort of stuff each and every week. And of course, we'll be back to that stuff next week. And anytime we're talking about fishing here on the show, it's brought to you by our buddies at Bluff City Outdoors in Alton, just about a mile away from Fast Eddie's. They have got you covered if you need to start your entire tackle box over. Maybe you haven't been fishing in a long time, or you just need to fill a couple gaps in the tackle box, whether it be the big catfish gear, bass lures, crappie gear, whatever you need, they have you covered. You can learn more about Bluff City on their website, bluffcityoutdoors.com. Right now, let's go ahead and get our buddy Keith Antone, America's favorite liberal, on the line. Keith, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. Hi. How you doing, Bob? What's up, Tony?
Everybody's good.
Doing good. And before we get into the issues, Keith, how are you feeling about Tuesday night? How are you feeling about Joe Biden? How are you feeling about maybe an upset here in the state of Missouri? Nicole Galloway, I think, is doing better than many she's thought. I think the Governor Parson still has a lead there, but I think Nicole Galloway is performing better than most thought. What are your expectations on Tuesday?
Well, my expectations is that everything that has blue associated with it and a capital D behind their name, that we win. But the reality is, this is going to be a lot closer than what people think. I you know, 2016 taught me something, that no matter what the polls say, that we got to, you know, and no matter how many billboards and signs don't vote, people do. And I think what's going to happen here, gentlemen, is that it's going to be tight. So be patient, folks. And I don't think we're going to know on November 3rd. I think it's going to be around the 5th, 6th, or 7th. But if it's the way I think it's going, and I see it being a tight, tight race, I think that we are going to get a new president come January 2021, and Trump will go out, you know, kicking and screaming. That's just the way I think it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be a landslide. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it'll be tight, and I think Joe Biden will eke it out.
Hey, Keith, we've seen both the debates now, and we've seen both Saturday Night Lives, or all the Saturday Night Lives that have come on. I woke up yesterday morning with this thought. If a Trump voter or a Republican can give me one reason why he should win, I'd love to know it. And I'm not saying I'm on either side, but for Joe Biden, what do you think his best asset is for America? I mean, we've heard all the headline debate, you know, debates that have gone on. Right. But in your opinion, why do you think Joe is the one that should go to the White House?
I'll tell you what I'm seeing, and it's been poll after poll. People feel that the guy is genuine, sincere, and that he is bringing back a civility to the White House. He can be feisty when he has to be, but he reminds you of an uncle or a grandfather, just an old cat's been around, loves everybody, wants to hug everybody, loves everybody, doesn't think anything wrong about anybody. And so I think what's happened here is it's a combination. I think that's what people think. And then, you know, the president not taking this coronavirus serious when we've had record-breaking weeks, and we have record, 228,000 dead Americans, and he's not taking it serious. I think that's what hurt him. I think Trump had a better chance had he came out, took this thing serious, wore masks, and you know, I think he would have had a better chance. That's just my
again. I really would like to know your favorite thing about Joe, other than he's lovable and everybody, you know, he's real. I mean, a serious thing that you know, in this world of unrest right now, defund the police. We hear all these headlines, and it sounds like, in my opinion, that you know, Trump has led this. There's always going to be records breaking because this is unprecedented, the pandemic we've been going through.
Right.
But I'm just trying to get the answer of what is the one main thing that, you know, people love about Joe Biden. And this is your platform to let the world know, because I'm, you know, you see, you know, social distance, you know, get togethers with Joe. You see thousands of people going together to go to the peaceful protest for Trump, as he calls them. But seriously, I'm just looking for that one thing that's going to push me over the edge to vote for Joe, because I haven't voted yet. I haven't done that.
I think the one thing that, you know, if I had to pinpoint one thing and hang my hat on it, Bo, I would say that he would have dealt with and handled this crisis, this pandemic, would have taken it much more seriously, and that he would be the guy that I'd like to see behind the wheel right now handling this pandemic. I think that would have put me at a lot more ease had he been the pandemic czar, so to speak, or the one that was doing this and was behind, our recovery efforts. I think that's the one thing I'd hang my hat on.
So, Keith, a lot of people listening are afraid that if a Democrat were to get in the White House or in the governor's mansion in Missouri, that there would be their gun rights would be threatened. And, you know, Joe Biden is the one that said he would put Beto O'Rourke in charge of his gun program. And Beto O'Rourke is the one that said that if he was president, he'd go door to door and get the guns. So I'd like for you to talk about what you think would be the plan that the Democratic Party would have, or the things that they would try to do when it comes to the Second Amendment. What are the things that you think that your party would be looking to do if they were to get in power?
Well, personally, Tony, that I am a gun owner. I own several. I have a CCW, and I'm for, you know, I think that what that is those are some talking points from from the far right of, you know, hey, they're going to take your guns. They're going to take your guns. And that's good. And I think, you know, just like the president says, hey, listen, I'm going to send jobs, get your husband's jobs. If Joe was in there, you know, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. I think those are talking points. I think that, you know, I know just as many of my Democratic friends who are gun owners, who are, you know, responsible gun owners. And I think that's just malarkey. I really do. But what I do think.
Hold on, I got to take a shot. Use the word malarkey.
Okay. Yeah,
malarkey. That's their word. That's the left word.
Hey, Bo, is this Biden bingo malarkey? Yeah. Okay. All right. I set myself up for that one.
Okay. Well.
But seriously,
no. Go ahead, Keith. Go ahead.
I really do think that, you know, that those are just the far right, you know, talking points. But I do think, I will say this, with a Democratic governor or a Democrat, you know, a president, that I think that we will get some tougher gun laws where it will be a little more difficult for the wrong people to have. Because, listen, here's the thing. Nobody's trying to stop people from owning a gun. And we all know that if you want to get a gun here in St. Louis, everybody knows where they can go. Well, I'm not going to say everybody, but there's places you can go and get a gun. So if someone's going to be doing crime with a stolen gun or a gun, you know, that's not theirs, you know, they're going to do it. So my thing is that, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, we only got a couple minutes left. I know we got a couple more we wanted to get to. So go ahead, Bo.
Yeah, no, he was on a thought, though. And really, you know, you're a legal gun owner. I'm a legal gun owner. Tony is, you know, everybody that's listening probably is. But maybe the focus should be on getting the guns out of the inner cities or the people Absolutely. That are, you know, how do we do that? Absolutely. Maybe that should be the focus. And maybe the Democrats, maybe Joe Biden should say something like that, but Beto O'Rourke is saying, hey, we're coming for you. We're going to come and get your ARs and we're going to, what? I just don't even see how that is possible.
I don't either. And you know what? And I've got too many buddies that own guns that said, let Beto show up on their porch and he's going to catch some hot lead. So the reality is, I think that's no pun. Only Keith and Joe can say that on the station.
We cannot say that on the station. Only Keith can get away with that. Hey, Keith, before we let you go, I want to ask one more question about the defund the police movement. I believe Bo thinks this, and I know we've had a lot of law enforcement on the air that talk about how dangerous that idea is. As far as you being a Missouri Democrat, I know that sometimes Democrats here in the Midwest don't always line up with things that the party thinks in Washington, D.C. Where do you stand and what would you like to see happen here locally as far as defund the police is concerned? Is that something that you support?
I absolutely, positively do not, never will, never have. Let me just tell you this in 30 seconds or less. Best man in my wedding was a detective for the St. Louis Police Department. The man who gave my wife away was her uncle, who retired after 40 years of sergeant with the St. Louis Police Department. Some of my good friends, including the current chief right now, is not only a friend, but he's my fraternity brother. I have a number of police officers, I won't say a number, but they're three or four that are in my family. I have a lot of friends who are police officers. I don't go for defunding the police. I never will go for that. What I will go for is that we look at how we have resources, and it doesn't have to come out of their budget. There's a number of other places that we can get resources. I understand what the premise is and what they're trying to do is that we need social service and we need programs and we need this, we need that. And we've been putting a Band-Aid on this situation. But taking money from the police flat out just does not make sense when they're understaffed. I think we're about 100 officers short here in St. Louis City, and they should be getting paid more as our teachers should be getting paid more, but that's another show. I am not for defunding the police.
Please spread that message through your party for us, all right? Keith, Antone, America's favorite liberal, thank you for your time, buddy, and I'm sure we'll talk to you in the coming days as we close in on this election.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Thanks,
you
Keith.
You bet. All right. We've got to take another quick break. When we get back, we'll hear from the other side. Missouri State Representative Nick Schroer joins us when we get back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Chad Ellis and my partner, Bo Matthews. In just a moment, we're going to talk to Missouri State Representative Nick Schroer. Wanted to remind you that if you've missed anything on today's show, you can always get our podcast. You can get the Second Amendment Radio podcast just about anywhere you get podcasts. But I always recommend the radio.com app, because once you have the radio.com app, you favorite the radio station, then you have one-stop shopping for everything. You can stream the station 24/7. You can rewind live radio with the radio rewind feature, and you can download the podcast of this and every other show on the station, and it's all free. So make sure you check that out. We put out the show podcast on Fridays, so you get an opportunity to get the show before it even airs. And then we put out our podcast exclusive on Mondays. And actually, State Rep Schroer is going to stick around and be a part of that podcast exclusive. So you get to hear more conversation with him this week when that podcast comes out. As I mentioned earlier, we are kind of doing our election special here this week. We just talked to Keith Antone, a.k.a. America's favorite liberal. He talked about the left and their plans, if they're what they would like to see as far as Second Amendment radio, or as far as Second Amendment rights and defund the police and things like that. What that party would do, or at least what he would like to see his party do on those issues. And we're going to get the rights opinion from Nick Schroer here in just a second. Normally, we'd be talking about fishing and camping and the great outdoors, and we'll be back to that stuff, of course, next week. And anytime we're talking about the great outdoors here on Second Amendment Radio, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory. And if you love the AR platform, so does Razorback Armory. A lot of their customers go in for consultations on how to modify that AR to fit your needs and your budget. They've got all the toys. Check them out on Manchester Road, just east of 270, and on the south side of Manchester Road. And online, you'll find Razorback Armory simply at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you.
And now let's go ahead and get State Representative Nick Schroer on the line with us. Newsmaker Nick, how's it going, my friend?
You know, anytime I can be on a show that incorporates two of my favorite things, firearms and the great outdoors, it's a happy day for me.
Well, we certainly appreciate your time. And Bo, I think that you were probably a little bit, and I was too, knowing how bombastic Keith Antone can be about certain issues, I was a little surprised to hear some reason from a Democrat when it comes to Second Amendment rights and things like defund the police. Were you a little surprised by what Keith had to say in that last segment?
Yeah, but see, my voice, I think, intimidates, and I don't mean to do that, but no, seriously, we just proved that we can have a regular conversation from either side of the aisle. Now, I would say I'm closer to the fence than maybe Keith is, but he is also a unicorn in the sense that he is a liberal gun owner, which is very unique in my opinion.
Yeah, do you agree with that? Do you agree with that, Nick? Because in your opinion, Nick, what's the difference between, if there is one, between a Missouri Democrat and a Democrat in Washington, D.C.? Are some of the Democrats here locally maybe not as extreme in your opinion, or is that whole party kind of been swept to that more extreme left side?
You know, they're few and far between to find a pro-life or pro-gun Democrat where the party used to be filled with them. There are some, but I think that, you know, once they kind of get entrenched in the system, the leadership is, you know, looking over them and trying to push them on certain bills. You know their personal side, you know how they want to vote. But then you hear how, you know, why they hit the no button on, you know, the preservation of the Second Amendment or any other pro-gun or pro-life bill. So, yeah, I think, you know, the reflection of the Missouri party is, you know, exactly that of the national party. And it's sad. And I've heard Keith on the radio on the Mark Cox show Monday through Friday in the mornings. And, you know, it's unfortunate that we don't have more people that are willing to sit down when the microphones are on them, you know, if you're behind closed doors, that's one thing. But when the microphones are on them, the spotlight's on you, and have a good, solid debate where you can come meet in the middle. But I think Keith's a brand new gun owner, if I remember correctly. And that's one thing I've noticed, that you put guns in the hands of somebody who doesn't like them. You train them. You teach them exactly how important this tool is. Right. And then suddenly they're pro-gun.
Now, by the way, my voice is the bouncer for this show, so maybe that's part of it. I joke. No, but he's a smart guy. That's the crazy thing. He's a smart guy.
Oh, yeah.
But when you get it to the conversation of Second Amendment rights and the fears of Beto O'Rourke wanting to, you know, come for your guns. I mean, when he said that, he meant that. And I just don't see how a buyback program would work. I mean, because I value mine more than somebody else would value them, like a used car or a house. Nick, your opinion on, you know, moving forward after Tuesday, what could be the worst case scenario? Of course, this is 2020, so anything's up in the air.
Yeah, you know, worst case scenario would be a Nicole Galloway, who is an extremist when it comes to gun control. I've heard her on different shows across the state, and her position is not something that, you know, the majority of Missourians want. So that would be a very worst case scenario. But in order for her to get a bill that would impact our Second Amendment rights, we would have to lose the House and the Senate in the state of Missouri. Now, if you just, you know, kind of bypass that and say, okay, well, let's look at a bigger picture, you know, with our 10th Amendment rights, whatever happens in D.C. shouldn't necessarily impact the state of Missouri when it comes to our gun rights. But, you know, an overreaching government like what the Democrats have become, if the Democrats win the presidency, the House and the Senate, they could start passing things, which I know you've had myself, Jared Taylor, and others on the program to talk about the Second Amendment Preservation Act, SAPA. That's something that we need to pass, because a very tyrannical government could pass something, even though it's unconstitutional. Having Biden, Pelosi, and Schumer taking the lead and passing these very red flag laws, these very unconstitutional laws, it could be a day of reckoning, so to speak, here in the state of Missouri and across the United States when it comes to your Second Amendment rights.
So I'm going to ask for everybody's predictions in a minute here, but let's just have a little thought experiment. And if Auditor Galloway was able to pull off the upset and defeat Mike Parson, and we have a Democrat in the governor's mansion, but you guys continue, the Republican Party continues to hold the supermajority throughout the rest of the state. Would she be able to, as governor, impede any of the laws or any of the work that you guys may be wanting to get done in the next session, because she would have veto power? Or do you think that even if she was able, even if the Democrats were able to take the governor's spot, that you guys would have a veto-proof majority in Jeff City?
I'm hoping that what we have right now is the veto-proof majority. I'm hoping that that transitions into this next session, because even if we do have, and I hope we don't, even if we do have a Democrat in the governor's office, it would be a lot easier to overcome a veto to, you know, pass it anyways if the governor were to veto something on any bill, whether it's Second Amendment or not. And that's exactly what she would do. I don't see any bill that will come out of a Republican majority, which she would sign on to. And that's the scary part, is it's going to waste our tax dollars, because she wants to play partisan politics with our lives, with our pocketbooks, and bring us back into a special session, bring us back into a prolonged veto session to override the vetoes, where it's not necessarily based on what the people of Missouri want. It's based upon what her party is telling her. And when you look back at last year, this past year, rather, COVID's kind of, you know, put my timeline in a fuzz. But when you look back, she, as auditor, has backed something called Keep Our Schools Safe Act, which I sponsored. It would put armed, trained resource officers in every school. However, when she announced for governor, her running for governor, the gun safety and gun anti-gun advocate groups came out and attacked her for that behind closed doors, to where she quickly changed her tone. And that's what scares me about certain individuals that are running on the Democrat side, is you can see them flip-flopping back and forth on a number of issues, and it's all who is pushing them, who's got the money to get them to change their votes. And rather than standing upon principles, they're standing on certain policies to appease their party. And that is a horrifying thing, especially when the national party is not the Democrat Party that you used to know and maybe love, of yesteryear, it is the National Socialist Party disguised as the blue Democrats that JFK led into battle so many years ago.
So we've only got a couple minutes left here in the show with Representative Nick Schroer, and I want to get into some a lot more talking points and issues with him. Anybody that's followed us here on this radio station and this radio show or reads the Post-Dispatch, we've talked about the issues that Representative Schroer has been going through. But so far, looks like you will be back on the ballot on Tuesday. I want to get into that issue with you. I don't know if we'll be able to do that on the show today or if that's going to be a podcast exclusive discussion. So everybody make sure you get that podcast exclusive on Monday. But being a person that's going to have their name on the ballot once again on Tuesday, as people get ready to vote, if they're listening to you right now, what is your message to the people, not only in your district, but everybody listening as they go to vote? What's your message to them and the importance of that vote on Tuesday?
Well, I think it's very clear when it comes to, you know, individuals like Donald Trump, Mike Parson, or even myself. It's time to have leaders, not just leaders in name only, but people that are willing to actually stand up and fight for your rights. I have a long history in my short 4 years of being in office of doing that, whether it's the heartbeat bill, Second Amendment issues, what I've passed for veterans, the economic development and preserving jobs and getting investments, GM investing $1 billion here in the state of Missouri and St. Charles County. We have someone like myself who's reached across the aisle time and time again when it comes to criminal justice reform, trying to find the murderers of the black lives in the city of St. Louis, and kind of overcoming Kim Gardner's tyrannical reign out there. But I think it's very clear that I've, you know, earned the support of Republicans and Democrats, and I think it's time that we send myself, President Donald Trump, Governor Parson, back into office so we can continue leading, continue to take your voice, your concerns into Jefferson City, into Washington, D.C., and actually get things done that you want, that we're finally getting done year after year. I mean, we've heard from the president, presidential races year after year about putting the embassy in Israel, finding peace in the Middle East. We're finally getting that done here, whether it's the Second Amendment issues, the pro-life issues, tax cuts, which we've done, the biggest tax cuts in Missouri.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Chad Ellis and my partner, Bo Matthews. In just a moment, we're going to talk to Missouri State Representative Nick Schroer. Wanted to remind you that if you've missed anything on today's show, you can always get our podcast. You can get the Second Amendment Radio podcast just about anywhere you get podcasts. But I always recommend the radio.com app, because once you have the radio.com app, you favorite the radio station, then you have one-stop shopping for everything. You can stream the station 24/7. You can rewind live radio with the Radio Rewind feature, and you can download the podcast of this and every other show on the station, and it's all free. So make sure you check that out. We put out the show podcast on Fridays, so you get an opportunity to get the show before it even airs. And then we put out our podcast exclusive on Mondays. And actually, State Rep Schroer is going to stick around and be a part of that podcast exclusive. So you get to hear more conversation with him this week when that podcast comes out. As I mentioned earlier, we are kind of doing our election special here this week. We just talked to Keith Antone, a.k.a. America's favorite liberal. He talked about the left and their plans, if they're what they would like to see as far as Second Amendment radio, or as far as Second Amendment rights and defund the police and things like that, what that party would do, or at least what he would like to see his party do on those issues. And we're going to get the rights opinion from Nick Schroer here in just a second. Normally, we'd be talking about fishing and camping and the great outdoors, and we'll be back to that stuff, of course, next week. And anytime we're talking about the great outdoors here on Second Amendment Radio, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory. And if you love the AR platform, so does Razorback Armory. A lot of their customers go in for consultations on how to modify that AR to fit your needs and your budget. They've got all the toys. Check them out on Manchester Road, just east of 270, and on the south side of Manchester Road. And online, you'll find Razorback Armory simply at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you.
And now let's go ahead and get State Representative Nick Schroer on the line with us. Newsmaker Nick, how's it going, my friend?
You know, anytime I can be on a show that incorporates two of my favorite things, firearms and the great outdoors, it's a happy day for me.
Well, we certainly appreciate your time. And Bo, I think that you were probably a little bit, and I was too, knowing how bombastic Keith Antone can be about certain issues, I was a little surprised to hear some reason from a Democrat when it comes to Second Amendment rights and things like defund the police. Were you a little surprised by what Keith had to say in that last segment?
Yeah, but see, my voice, I think, intimidates, and I don't mean to do that, but no, seriously, we just proved that we can have a regular conversation from either side of the aisle. Now, I would say I'm closer to the fence than maybe Keith is, but he is also a unicorn in the sense that he is a liberal gun owner, which is very unique, in my opinion.
Yeah, do you agree with that? Do you agree with that, Nick? Because in your opinion, Nick, what's the difference between, if there is one, between a Missouri Democrat and a Democrat in Washington, D.C.? Are some of the Democrats here locally maybe not as extreme, in your opinion, or is that whole party kind of been swept to that more extreme left side?
You know, they're few and far between to find a pro-life or pro-gun Democrat where the party used to be filled with them. There are some, but I think that, you know, once they kind of get entrenched in the system, the leadership is, you know, looking over them and trying to push them on certain bills. You know their personal side, you know how they want to vote. But then you hear how, you know, why they hit the no button on, you know, the preservation of the Second Amendment or any other pro-gun or pro-life bill. So, yeah, I think, you know, the reflection of the Missouri party is, you know, exactly that of the national party. And it's sad. And I've heard Keith on the radio on the Mark Cox show Monday through Friday in the mornings. And, you know, it's unfortunate that we don't have more people that are willing to sit down when the microphones are on them. You know, if you're behind closed doors, that's one thing. But when the microphones are on them, the spotlight's on you, and have a good, solid debate where you can come meet in the middle. But I think Keith's a brand new gun owner, if I remember correctly. And that's one thing I've noticed, that you put guns in the hands of somebody who doesn't like them. You train them. You teach them exactly how important this tool is. Right. And then suddenly they're pro-gun.
Now, by the way, my voice is the bouncer for this show, so maybe that's part of it. I joke. No, but he's a smart guy. That's the crazy thing. He's a smart guy.
Oh, yeah.
But when you get it to the conversation of Second Amendment rights and the fears of Beto O'Rourke wanting to, you know, come for your guns. I mean, when he said that, he meant that. And I just don't see how a buyback program would work. I mean, because I value mine more than somebody else would value them, like a used car or a house. Nick, your opinion on, you know, moving forward after Tuesday, what could be the worst case scenario? Of course, this is 2020, so anything's up in the air.
Yeah, you know, worst case scenario would be a Nicole Galloway, who is an extremist when it comes to gun control. I've heard her on different shows across the state, and her position is not something that, you know, the majority of Missourians want. So that would be a very worst case scenario. But in order for her to get a bill that would impact our Second Amendment rights, we would have to lose the House and the Senate in the state of Missouri. Now, if you just, you know, kind of bypass that and say, okay, well, let's look at a bigger picture, you know, with our 10th Amendment rights, whatever happens in D.C. shouldn't necessarily impact the state of Missouri when it comes to our gun rights. But, you know, an overreaching government like what the Democrats have become, if the Democrats win the presidency, the House and the Senate, they could start passing things, which I know you've had myself, Jared Taylor, and others on the program to talk about the Second Amendment Preservation Act, SAPA. That's something that we need to pass because a very tyrannical government could pass something, even though it's unconstitutional. Having Biden, Pelosi, and Schumer taking the lead and passing these very red flag laws, these very unconstitutional laws, it could be a day of reckoning, so to speak, here in the state of Missouri and across the United States when it comes to your Second Amendment rights.
So I'm going to ask for everybody's predictions in a minute here, but let's just have a little thought experiment. And if Auditor Galloway was able to pull off the upset and defeat Mike Parson, and we have a Democrat in the governor's mansion, but you guys continue, the Republican Party continues to hold the supermajority throughout the rest of the state. Would she be able to, as governor, impede any of the laws or any of the work that you guys may be wanting to get done in the next session, because she would have veto power? Or do you think that even if she was able, even if the Democrats were able to take the governor's spot, that you guys would have a veto proof majority in Jeff City?
I'm hoping that what we have right now is the veto proof majority. I'm hoping that transitions into this next session, because even if we do have, and I hope we don't, even if we do have a Democrat in the governor's office, it would be a lot easier to overcome a veto to, you know, pass it anyways if the governor were to veto something on any bill, whether it's Second Amendment or not. And that's exactly what she would do. I don't see any bill that will come out of a Republican majority, which she would sign on to. And that's the scary part, is it's going to waste our tax dollars, because she wants to play partisan politics with our lives, with our pocketbooks, and bring us back into a special session, bring us back into a prolonged veto session to override the vetoes, where it's not necessarily based on what the people of Missouri want. It's based upon what her party is telling her. And when you look back at last year, this past year, rather, COVID's kind of, you know, put my timeline in a fuzz. But when you look back, she, as auditor, has backed something called Keep Our Schools Safe Act, which I sponsored. It would put armed, trained resource officers in every school. However, when she announced for governor, her running for governor, the gun safety and gun anti-gun advocate groups came out and attacked her for that behind closed doors, to where she quickly changed her tone. And that's what scares me about certain individuals that are running on the Democrat side, is you can see them flip-flopping back and forth on a number of issues, and it's all who is pushing them, who's got the money to get them to change their votes. And rather than standing upon principles, they're standing on certain policies to appease their party. And that is a horrifying thing, especially when the national party is not the Democrat party that you used to know and maybe love of yesteryear. It is a National Socialist Party disguised as the blue Democrats that JFK led into battle so many years ago.
So we've only got a couple minutes left here in the show with Representative Nick Schroer, and I want to get into some a lot more talking points and issues with him. Anybody that's followed us here on this radio station and this radio show, or reads the Post-Dispatch, we've talked about the issues that Representative Schroer has been going through. But so far, it looks like you will be back on the ballot on Tuesday. I want to get into that issue with you. I don't know if we'll be able to do that on the show today, or if that's going to be a podcast exclusive discussion. So everybody, make sure you get that podcast exclusive on Monday. But being a person that's going to have their name on the ballot once again on Tuesday, as people get ready to vote, if they're listening to you right now, what is your message to the people, not only in your district, but everybody listening as they go to vote? What's your message to them, and the importance of that vote on Tuesday?
Well, I think it's very clear when it comes to, you know, individuals like Donald Trump, Mike Parson, or even myself. It's time to have leaders, not just leaders in name only, but people that are willing to actually stand up and fight for your rights. I have a long history in my short 4 years of being in office of doing that, whether it's the heartbeat bill, Second Amendment issues, what I've passed for veterans, the economic development and preserving jobs and getting investments, GM investing $1 billion here in the state of Missouri and St. Charles County. We have someone like myself who's reached across the aisle time and time again when it comes to criminal justice reform, trying to find the murderers of the black lives in the city of St. Louis, and kind of overcoming Kim Gardner's tyrannical reign out there. But I think it's very clear that I've, you know, earned the support of Republicans and Democrats. And I think it's time that we send myself, President Donald Trump, Governor Parson, back into office so we can continue leading, continue to take your voice, your concerns into Jefferson City, into Washington, D.C., and actually get things done that you want, that we're finally getting done year after year. I mean, we've heard from the president, presidential races year after year, about putting the embassy in Israel, finding peace in the Middle East. We're finally getting that done here, whether it's the Second Amendment issues, the pro-life issues, tax cuts, which we've done, the biggest tax cuts in Missouri history. We're getting that done in my time in Jefferson City, and we're just getting started. So come Tuesday, I would ask for your vote for myself, for Governor Parson, for every Republican across the ticket, I think, is going to be the best bet for Missouri, as we're going to continue making Missouri greater, continue to make Missouri safer, and we can do that all on Tuesday.
Let's make some quick predictions, Bo. What do you think happens, obviously, with the presidential election? What's your prediction? And if you have any other maybe upsets or races that you feel very strongly about, whether they be locally or nationally, what are your what's your predictions for Tuesday?
You know, I guess I'm just going to I'll just talk about the president and the White House. I believe Trump is going to win by how much. I can't say because I don't look at polls anymore. And I know Trump's campaign does their own polling. And I've heard some information on that. And that to me seems more realistic than what we're seeing in, you know, the news media, which, you know, is ridiculous.
What do you think, Nick?
Well, I think even though we're going to see a Donald Trump victory on election night or maybe the next morning, I think it's going to be thrown in chaos the coming days, coming weeks thereafter. I would hope that it ultimately turns out to come to fruition that Donald Trump is our next president. I think it will. I think Governor Parson's going to win without a doubt. I think there are going to be some seats like Ann Wagner's seat, which are going to be a lot closer than people think. But I think she's going to squeak off with the win. I think Andrew Koenig in St. Louis County will squeak off with the win. He's another one who needs a lot of support. He's the one that ushered in tax cuts that you know, had the heartbeat bill in the Senate of mine. So I think Republicans, if we lose any seats, it's going to be maybe a couple. I think we'll pick up a couple and call it a wash. But I think ultimately we're going to see a victory for Republicans across the United States on Tuesday.
I think that the president is going to win. I think Donald Trump is going to win the electoral vote, but I think that he will lose the popular vote again, like he did to Hillary Clinton in 2016, by even maybe more. And then the argument will then switch over to the Electoral College, and the debate will be about eliminating the Electoral College all over again. All right, that is going to do it for this week's show. We are out of time. We're going to continue the conversation with State Representative Nick Schroer in the podcast exclusives. And for my producer, Chad Ellis, and my partner, Bo Matthews, I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.